we've talked about it on this podcast many times. Is it great? No. Is it great? Yes.
Yes. I would also like to announce that Steph has put a special note in this part of the spreadsheet that says, I will go alone.
And I was like, I was promised Matt Doyle. Where is he?
Problematic storyline for sure, but an overall blast, and I would recommend this show to everybody in Toronto. Hi everyone, welcome back to After Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, it is part two of our season preview, and this time we are back in Canada. We're talking mostly about Toronto and the, you know, surrounding areas for the upcoming 2022-2023 season. A lot of good stuff happening in Canada, I would say, this year. And then a lot of questionable stuff happening in Canada this year.
Should we just start with the Mirvish season? So, six shows. It's usually a mix of plays and musicals. I believe it is four musicals, two plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, musicals-wise... before that, a holdover from last season is Singin' in the Rain.
Yes.
Pandemic scheduling, blah, 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 meant that Singing in the Rain is actually part of the season that is, would usually be over by now.
I would like to say that this would be replacing The Boyfriend that never ended up doing anything.
Remember
that. I'm actually pretty excited for Singing in the Rain. You know, a classic. I feel like it can't be bad. I really think it can't be bad.
If there's tap dancing, like, how can you go wrong? Typically what's the marker in Toronto of the end of the season is TIFF. Because a lot of the theaters, like the Royal Alex, the... I don't know if the Edmurvish is going to.
No, because Chris Child. But this is the first time that both Royal Alex and Princess of Wales are participating at the same time.
Oh, really?
That's so funny. Yes.
Because I feel like a lot of times they'll, like, close come from away for 2 weeks.
Right.
To run TIFF. So, yeah. So, theaters like the Royal Alex, the Princess of Wales, the Winter Garden / the Elgin, sometimes the Edmurvish, but not this year because of Chris Child. Does the CAA? Maybe not.
No, but Roy Thompson Hall has all the premieres, like the Hall, big galas.
Yes, Roy Thompson Hall is a big one. And then, you know, obviously people at the Scotiabank. So, but that means that a lot of times there's no, subscription shows mm-hmm. scheduled in this time because Toronto's overrun by movie stars and movie critics. So normally the season ends in the summer and then the new season will start after TIFF, but blah, blah, blah.
Singing in the Rain is starting directly after TIFF. It opens September 23rd, which by the time this episode is released, it's already running, and there's only like a few days. Oh, it ends October 23rd, so you still have like a few weeks to see Singing in the Rain. But yeah, it's a kind of quick turnaround, and I assume that they're rehearsing right now somewhere else because they can't have their theater.
Is it a UK tour?
I don't know about it. I just know that I've never even seen the full movie Singing in the Rain. So
I've seen the movie is wonderful. It's magical. It's about do you know what it's about?
I know what it's about, and I know it's Gene Kelly. So
okay.
That's it.
Yes.
That's all I know.
I love Singing in the Rain because it's about movies. It's about about movies and like about transitioning from silent film to regular movies, and it's honestly so, so funny. Can't wait for a tap dance. Can't wait for, I don't know, tricks and amazing dancing, and I think that's what you're gonna get. So it should be fun. The musical's coming.
Also, before you jump in, to date stamp this episode, we are recording early, a month early, so stuff could be announced. There's really only one show that I think is about to be announced in between the time that we are pre-recording this. So we are recording this the same day as the New York season preview, and that is September 5th. So,
okay, so there is three tours coming as part of the Mirvish season. The main season. The first one will be Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
The next one will be the long-awaited return of Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I think what we're most excited about is Hadestown on tour coming next summer-ish?
Yeah, like July. Yeah. It's a long ways away.
It's right at the end of the season. So in order of how excited I am for these, I would say top Hadestown, because I've never seen it. You've seen it, but I've never seen it.
I've seen all three of these shows.
Next, I would say Mean Girls, because I've never seen it, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. Third, Hamilton, not because I don't love Hamilton, but because I've seen Hamilton three times and I don't think I need to see it again.
I have a bone to pick with the
pick it. Let's pick this bone. Pick it.
Okay, so Steph and I, oh my God, do you have that list? Did you write it down when we were like predicting what Mirvish was going to bring?
Let me find my notebook.
Because I actually think our season might be better than the season that we actually
absolutely.
Got.
Absolutely. We did have Hadestown at the top of our list. So yeah. We knew.
So before we get into that list, I'll give you my quick thoughts on the musicals this season. Love Hadestown. Can't wait to see it again. I think we talked about this like in the last time we did a season preview that it was something that would be fun if it ever came, because at that point it had like just won Best Musical and it's clearly the like best of those ones. I mean, I'm not going to count Hamilton because again, we've already seen it many times. Am I excited for Mean Girls? No. I feel like actually though, I appreciated it more watching the 1,000 bootlegs that you and I watched over the course of the pandemic of literally every version,
it was
every
maybe our
character.
Show of the pandemic.
But I just don't love this show and I hate the projections in this show. And I know that with a tour of Mean Girls, they're probably going to up the projections because it's cheap and yeah. And then my biggest bone to pick with Mirvish is that Hamilton is in the main season. For those of us, which is literally like five of us that saw Hamilton in 2020, like I paid full price for that ticket then and I'm paying full price for that ticket now. And if you look at the subscriber breakdown, and this is different for everybody because the breakdown is like dependent on where your seats are, what day you're going, all of that. But my Hamilton tickets are $161 a seat. And I think that is outrageous for a show that I already got as part of main season 3 years ago. And I understand that not everybody got to see it, but I would have preferred like an opt-in or opt-out as someone that got to see the show in 2020.
I'm going to speak to this maybe from an accounting point of view. They needed to bring Hamilton back because not everyone saw
for
it.
For sure. And they also promised it.
And they promised it to come back. So it needed to come back. I just don't know if they could afford to allow people to opt out. Because by like having you pay that, let's say, high ticket price for Hamilton, now they're able to afford to charge you, let's say, this lower ticket price and to able to use the excess of funds from Hamilton to bring in these other smaller shows that are also part of the season.
Right.
They're also kind of, Mirvish has limited theater space in that they have three theaters. One is completely taken up by Cursed Child at this point. It's running until March right now. So now they have two theaters to work with. So if they needed to bring Hamilton back for a semi-extended run, which I think is going to be about three-ish months here, they really have no room to put anything else there. And it's very frustrating. I get it. But they're, from a business perspective, they're kind of stuck. They're stuck. Mm-hmm.
And I also understand that not everybody has seen Hamilton multiple times like I have.
No, we're very lucky.
But I also think it could have been an opportunity to not have it in the main season by a bonus show. And they still would have done probably pretty well, because we will get to the bonus shows later.
If they do that, they don't have the room to offer a sixth show in the main season. They just don't have the theater room, the scheduling room.
Yeah, and then it would have been like, oh, I'm paying X number of dollars for only five shows. But again, if
they don't want to lower the subscription price for, they don't want to do that.
No.
So they're kind of many different scenarios that they're trying to play with.
It's just...
Not to defend the big corporation, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just because, like, again, when you see that price breakdown, like, another show... Oh, sorry, again, to preface, we're only talking about musicals, but...
We'll address the plays briefly.
The Shark is Broken, which is coming, like, right after Singing in the Rain. It's the next show.
Another Jaws theatrical experience.
That ticket price breakdown is $51. So it seems...
They really know it's worth. They really know
crazy,
it's worth.
Crazy. But it seems crazy when you look at 161. I don't even think we paid $161 to see Hamilton in 2020. I honestly don't think it was that high.
I think it was 175.
You think... But for subscribers?
I don't know what your price breakdown was.
Yeah.
But let's say, like, then you bought additional tickets.
Yeah.
And I think that was 175.
I think
Which is also
crazy. I'd also be interested to know, and we'll never have this information, but I'm interested to know how many season subscribers did actually get to see it. Like, what are the numbers there to see if it would be worth it to, like, opt in or out? I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just bitter about it because I saw
it. Absolutely. Absolutely, because it affects, like, you, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm also very interested. It's probably, like, one much more expensive to bring Hamilton in than it is to bring in something like The Shark Is Broken.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. There might be a real shark on stage for this show.
I hope there is. I hope we're getting... If someone doesn't say we're going to need a bigger boat, like, refund my money. Refund my money.
I mean, let's be honest. You're not going to see this show.
I'm not seeing The Shark Is Broken. Sorry, I'm not seeing The Shark Is Broken.
I will see it, and I will let you know if that line is...
I will not be seeing The Shark Is Broken. Sorry, The Shark Is Broken is happening. The other play that is coming is Pressure. It was supposed to come in...
There is another musical.
Let me get to this other musical I want to talk
about.
Let me get to the... So the other play is Pressure. It was supposed to be here in the 2020-2021 season or the whatever. It's bad.
I'm not excited about it. Actually,
who cares?
I do want to point out, this is something I guess we could have mentioned in our New York season preview, but we did not talk about plays. But Leopoldstadt was supposed to be in the season, last season of Mervish, but COVID like literally killed that show. But it is on Broadway, opening. Actually, I think it's open by the time of episode release, starring Casey Levy and Brandon Uranowitz. So, like, if they brought that cast here, I would have been in the seats.
We absolutely love that. let's say, I'm going to say Pressure stars Kevin Doyle from Downton Abbey.
Cool.
Olivier nominee Malcolm Sinclair and Laura Rogers reprise their roles.
I might let my dad see this show. So
you might not even be like, here's the thing. David Mervish loves a West End play.
We will discuss everything David Mervish loves.
We feel we know his personality based on what is programmed in the season. Okay, there's one more musical. We're going to talk about it. It's a musical called Fisherman's Friend. And when I first saw that, I was like, whatever. Then I got it.
You know what I thought when I first saw the title? The cough drops.
The cough drops, Fisherman's Friend. I was like, whatever. Who cares? Then, Fisherman's Friends, sorry. Mm. Then I got an email from Mervish last week being like, TIFF is coming.
So many,
Mervish emails are funny. So many musicals in our season are based on movies. And so I'm like, oh yeah, Mean Girls. Oh yeah, The Shark Is Broken, whatever. Then I was like, Fisherman's Friends. And I'm reading the summary based on the true story of the chart-topping Cornish singing sensations in their hit 2019 movie, Fisherman's Friends, the musical. It's a feel-good voyage about friendship, community, and music that will give any land lover a mighty pair of sea legs. And I'm like, I've seen this movie. My family watched this movie on Netflix. We saw Fisherman's Friends, the movie, and we clicked it. And I was like, Mom, did you know the musical based on this movie? She's like, I love that movie. It's so a sequel to this movie has been made and is going to air on Netflix. A sequel.
Wow.
As my family is Fisherman's Friends, the musical number one fan, maybe we will be going. I don't know.
To recount what happened here 2 days ago, an exact quote from both you and I, David Mervish loves a sea shanty. Now, I don't know why, but David Mervish loves a sea shanty.
Yeah, we get a lot of UK imports.
Tons, yeah.
In Toronto, there's like good relationships, I guess. Like that's who David Mervish has relationships with. So like our season is usually like half tours, half UK imports.
Is Fisherman's Friends like not playing like currently in the UK? Or like just ended?
North American premiere, original UK cast.
Oh.
Could this be pre-Broadway?
Definitely not. 100% not. Maybe a pre-off-Broadway, but definitely not on Broadway.
It looks fun. Look, I'm getting some Come From Away energy.
Okay, but the name does not hook me. Wow, you didn't even have it on your spreadsheet here.
I forgot about it.
It's how could you forget?
Well, I just realized like 2 days ago.
I know.
I was interested. So I'm going to have to add it November 2022, Fisherman's Friends the Musical.
Like
maybe
soon,
I'll take my entire family.
Oh my God.
Maybe.
Well, wait for a rush ticket and then maybe take your whole family.
Yeah. We do not like to buy in advance in this household. So that's that. Wow. That's that for Mervish. There's also the off-Mervish season.
Yes.
There's no musicals in the off-Mervish season.
No, but Indecent has music in it, right?
Yes, it's a play with music, Indecent.
Although, now that I found out that Jake Epstein is not in it, I don't know that I'm interested. You said, maybe we'll see it. And I Don't know.
It was really, like, successful on Broadway.
I know,
we talked to Jake about it. I think it would be... I think we should expand our horizons sometimes.
We've said this literally every year, and here we are still only seeing musicals.
Expand our horizons. We see
this is like a sneak like peek of what happens behind the scenes, but when we were talking to Robert Marcus a couple episodes ago, off the mic, we were telling him we only see musicals, and he told us to expand and see some Shakespeare. So... We'll see what happens.
Especially at Stratford. maybe we'll take his advice, maybe we won't. Yeah. Okay, so Indecent, then there's two plays, Things I Know to Be True. I know nothing about this.
Yeah, me either.
It looks a family drama with universal residence, oh. Whatever. And then the other one, which is kind of interesting, is As You Like It or The Land Acknowledgement. This was a Crows production. Starring Cliff Cardinal, a radical retelling of William Shakespeare's As You Like It. Tragically, we just saw the Canadian stage Shakespeare in Hyde Park, As You Like It, which we absolutely hated. Sorry to Canadian stage. So,
In their defense, for the entirety of that production, we all just looked at each other being like, what is going on? Like, we probably should have read a plot summary before we went in, although maybe it wouldn't have helped us. The acting was good. Overall production was not.
The concept didn't work. I think what I like about Shakespeare in Hyde Park is that typically it takes Shakespeare's and kind of, not dumbs them down, but simplifies and makes it easier for any audience to see. Made it more confusing.
It felt complicated. And yeah, it's already complicated.
All the time, I was like, who's this new random character? They were all flowers.
That was the biggest downfall to the production, was the flower costume.
I was like, why are they wearing these like weird colors? Turns out they were plants. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. Ooh. But this production of As You Like It, The Land Acknowledgement, or As You Like It or The Land Acknowledgement, has gotten really, really wonderful reviews. And I think it really says something that Mirvish is bringing in a Crow's Theater production.
Yeah, is this like
putting money behind it?
This doesn't happen ever, I feel.
It's quite rare.
Yeah.
It's quite rare. So I think I would like to see it. It's playing in March, April 2023. And so I'd like to see it. I think it would be really cool.
Something else that's coming that we're super excited to see, not coming for like a really long time, not part of the main season. It is an add-on. We will be buying tickets for it. Jagged Little Pill, coming to Canada.
Right, I forgot about Jagged.
Yeah.
Yes, they only have a 2-week run, which is not enough time, I think, to get in all the subscribers.
No, but so... we will be purchasing tickets for Jagged. When we saw it, we were when it comes to Toronto, like, no brainer. I actually think it's kind of sad that it's not part of the main season, because obviously, like, Alanis is Canadian. I do think the Toronto audiences would eat up anything that Alanis, like, has her name on. Like, my mom was sad to hear that it wasn't part of the main season, but, like, you better believe we will be in the audience for that.
Yeah, it's absolutely a blast. I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast many times. Is it great? No. Is it great? Yes.
Yes, exactly. And also, I would like to point out, because I feel like the last time that we talked about Jagged, there was, like, pretty negative energy around it. They have really done an overhaul on the casting, and seems like things are now like correctly cast. Baby Derek Klena is in the cast. We don't know if he'll be here when it comes.
Yeah, who knows,
it's
like if he'll
a year and a
like
half
a
away.
Year.
Yeah. And also, who's playing what's her name right now?
Like Joe?
No, the mom.
Heidi Blickenstaff?
Yes. She's great. And she stepped in for Elizabeth Stanley when she was on mat leave on Broadway. Mm-hmm.
The role for a bit.
Yeah, to close it out. So to bring her back for tour is really exciting. But problematic storyline for sure, but an overall blast. And I would recommend this show to everybody in Toronto. So
as soon as that like opening, like almost like harmonica overture.
The title card that swung in, never forget.
The joy that that brought in me.
It was so good.
Wonderful. That's great. So I definitely recommend.
And then potentially to round out the Mirvish season, again, we were recording this episode on September 5th, so we do not have the information. And I do think we are getting the announcement of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which I am so excited about. And I feel like as soon as there was like a Toronto Star article that came out a few weeks ago, it was very like subtly released. No one is talking about this except for, I feel like, you and I and me and Corey, because my brother loves Joseph. And it's also credited as pre-Broadway. And I'm so sorry that we didn't discuss this on our previous episode, but we literally forgot that it was happening.
Well, it sounds like it's the West End transfer. So it's playing the West End right now. And it sounds like it's the cast, or at least the principal cast from the West End, to come here kind of December time.
Yes.
Did they say which theater?
No, but I'm trying to think what's open.
What's open?
I feel like it has to be... So Shark is Broken is at the Royal Alex till November. Mean Girls is at the Princess of Wales November 27th. Royal Alex... Okay, it's got to be Princess of Wales because the next show in there is Hamilton in February.
Okay,
so
there's like
I think we're about to get a December to end of January Joseph run here.
That's a great holiday show, actually.
Oh my God, I am literally so excited for this. I have never seen Joseph on stage. I've watched that Donny Osmond movie a thousand times.
Toronto.
Yes.
Also Toronto.
And actually the like disappointing thing is in that Toronto Star article, it says that Donnie was offered Pharaoh and he turned it down, and that would have been like iconic. You would never be able to get a ticket though if Donnie was in this.
It'd
so
be crazy. It'd be crazy.
I don't know if they would bring the entire West End cast to Broadway because they've never really done that.
My guess would be like, I think it's Yak Jarrow who's playing Joseph. I think they want to bring him to Toronto with my guess would be the intention to bring to Broadway. I think there's wiggle room everywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, top of mind just for me right now, like Jessica Vosk as narrator seems to be what's been happening everywhere else Joseph has played. So
she did that like concert kind of right before the pandemic, and she did it, was it the Muni this summer?
Muni, yeah.
She played it completely as opposed to sharing it in that previous production.
I do love sharing it. I think it's really interesting. But if they're doing kind of a traditional Joseph, I don't think that they'll change anything here. Although my other potential thought was, you know, she's Canadian. Let's bring Casey Levy to be narrator in Joseph because she would be amazing.
Absolutely.
I would also love to play the narrator in Joseph, but
you're
I
available.
Won't put myself.
You're available. You're available.
But
so
yeah.
We also keep, or I have been keeping a little spreadsheet of shows that I want to see. So maybe we'll just go through a few of the things in the spreadsheet here that are exciting to me. It's mostly musicals, but some plays because just things that we've heard about.
Yes.
So coming up, Choir Boy, Canadian Stage is doing. As soon as we saw that was announced, I like immediately put it in the spreadsheet.
Also, because I just looked at their spreadsheet yesterday, I didn't realize it was coming so soon. So we actually need to like get on that and figure out a date.
Yeah, November 8th, it starts performances to November 19th. So it's like a short run. We will definitely be going.
Yes.
It's really like really exciting to me. A play with music, with choreography. Terrell Allen McCraney wrote this play.
That Tony performance, I'll never forget.
That Tony performance. Camille Brown choreographed it on Broadway. I don't know who's going to choreograph it here, but I'm really excited. A play. It's about to get dark.
A play.
A play. So I'll say years ago, I was listening to the podcast Three on the Isle, which is like New York theater critics, and they were talking about this play, Yerma. And I became obsessed. I was like, how do I see this? Whatever. And it... like only ran in like the West End and off Broadway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if I'll ever get a chance, blah, blah, blah. Announced as part of the Coal Mine Theater's season this year. It is the like first production not directed by the person who adapted. It's a very old like Mexican play. And then it was adapted for more modern times. This is the first production that's been allowed to go forward without this director. So it's very exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. It's in February 5th to February 26th, the Coal Mine Theater.
I would also like to announce that Steph has put a special note in this part of the spreadsheet that says, I will go alone.
Look, I think it's very heavy material. It deals with like an infertility storyline about a woman who... is unable to have her own child, and like just the struggles or just like the emotional toll that takes on her and how it like kind of like almost drives her to madness. So I do think it's like absolutely not for everybody, but it is for me, and I will be going to Coal Mine Theater. That's that. Okay, next on the spreadsheet, something we've been talking about forever, and we talked This is in our Sondheim Renaissance that we're going through right now. Crow's Theater, in collaboration with Yes Theater Sudbury, is putting on Merrily We Roll Along. This was something that was announced for, I think, the 2020-2021 season.
Yeah.
And obviously didn't happen. And now it was happening again.
I know that it was supposed to play at the Winter Garden. I don't think we have a theater attached to it yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming. And it's very exciting because this is Yes Theater's like first venture into Toronto, which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if it'll probably be in like one of Crow's two spaces there. They have the small space.
If it is, I think it should be in the bigger one where the Flick was.
Yeah. Yeah. The Flick was the only thing I saw in that bigger space.
I think I saw a Fringe show in there with Shara in the bigger space, but honestly the spaces when you like don't have set pieces there look the exact same. One's just smaller, one is bigger.
Yes, they're just like blank spaces, really. But it's funny because the way the Flick is staged, you're in a bunch of seats, and then the stage was a bunch of seats.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't have a proper grasp on what this room looks like.
No, the perspective was completely blown out of proportion because it was off. It was crazy.
Also, I mean, the Flick was great.
Oh my God.
Still think about it. A play. Sometimes plays are good.
That play was great.
Now, we saw that on our recommendation too. So that was like.
Yes.
And, like, a good one.
Yeah.
So, Merrily, really, really cannot wait for this production of Merrily.
Yeah, and also, we talked about him again with Robert Marcus, but Alessandro Cosentini is the, like, creator of Yes Theater, so super exciting for him to bring this show to Toronto, and we are under the impression that he will be starring in this musical. We don't know this to say that for a fact, but we're also hoping, and I cannot wait to see him on stage again because it's been a while since we saw him.
Yes, yes. The star of Dear Evan Hansen.
Truly.
There were many stars, but he was the star.
Yeah.
We didn't say that in front of Robert Marcus, but sorry. And then kind of finally of this list, before we get into like other theater companies, Canadian Stage and Musical Stage are finally bringing to
Kelly
the stage
Kelly
B. Kelly.
So excited. We talked to Brenda Johnson about this at this point, like almost
2 years ago.
Well, like 2.5 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will be, I guess, 3 years since the original announcement that it is finally coming to Canadian Stage. We've never been to Canadian Stage. I don't know if you have, but I've never been to Canadian Stage.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where they're going to run it.
No. We've only seen Canadian Stage collaborations with High Park, obviously in High Park. But yeah, I'm excited for this show. It's been in the works forever because it was originally part of the Canadian Music Theatre project like so many years ago. So
yes, it was. And then it was Britta's third production in the Crescendo series.
Yeah.
Which was a 3-year commitment for a musical stage company to produce the work of Britta. And so when we first heard
Eugenia at the Tango Club.
Eugenia at the Tango Club, we're just like, we need to talk to Britta immediately. And we need to see this musical. So it's going to be playing at the Berkeley Street Theater, which I've never been in.
I don't think I've been in there either.
Yeah, it's the Canadian Stage space. I've been in that space, but I haven't seen a show there before. It's 244
people?
Seats.
Mm-hmm.
So really small, which is really exciting too. I love a good intimate moment.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a hot show. Maybe we'll get to talk to someone involved.
We don't have casting for this yet, right?
No, it was Haley Gillis last time.
And Kelsey Verzotti, who also was on this podcast.
Kelsey Verzotti, absolutely. Yeah. Kaylee Harwood, I feel like, was in that video as well.
Yeah, so.
Sarah Farr wrote the book, who we also love.
Right, right.
So, who's currently starring in Harry Potter's First Child here in Toronto, playing a character. So very excited about that. And one of the most exciting things about that is that original Canadian musical.
Yes.
Truly, truly some of our favorite things to see are original Canadian musicals.
And I feel like more exciting than ever because we've been waiting so long for like Merrily specifically and Kelly v. Kelly. But Kelly v. Kelly was really something we've been waiting for years now. So I'm just so excited to like finally see these shows that we've been like dream talking up on these episodes for the last like 3 years, you know?
Absolutely. We're truly pumped.
Yeah.
And then do you want to talk us through Stratford and Shaw?
Yeah. So we basically gave the like teeniest, tiniest preview when we chatted with Robert Marcus a couple episodes ago. I don't think the Shakespeares have been announced for Stratford yet. We've really only heard about the musicals. Again, by episode release, all that might be out because we are pre-recording a month in advance. But we are getting Spamalot and we are getting Rent. Spamalot was supposed to be part of the 2020-2021 season.
Well, the 2020 summer.
Yes. So you're under the impression that, like, they're trying to bring back that cast, right?
I am. When they announced this summer mm-hmm. of Stratford Productions, they're doing Chicago, which was also part of that 2020 season, they said casts who were, like, hired specifically for one show will be brought back in the season that they were hired specifically for.
Right.
So that gave me the impression that they're going to try and bring back that cast, subject to availability, obviously.
Mm-hmm. The concern for us, though, is where does this leave Dan Shamroy? Because he was not in the original Spamalot cast because he was doing Here's What It Takes and Chicago. And mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a part for him in Rent because
right.
I said this to you and I feel like it makes sense. But, like, they seem like not adults to me, that cast, even though they're actually all adults. But, like, there's no...
They should be 20s. Like,
there's no, like, father figure in Rent.
Right. Yeah, they're kind of intentionally without guidance, those mm-hmm. characters. Mm-hmm. They're intentionally young people making their way without an older person or an experienced person to guide them, to help them.
Right.
So yeah, I am very interested because he is very much a mainstay, like double digits of seasons at Stratford.
Yeah.
So who knows?
And if you listen to that episode, you know that I want Robert Marcus to play Mark Cohen. So we'll see if that actually comes true.
And then casting announced.
Oh, sorry. That was for Rent. Yeah. So Rent, as we had also said in previous episodes, Donna Fior not returning to Stratford this season. I don't know who's directing Spamalot, but we have information that Tom Allison is directing Rent. He was an original member of the Canadian company of Rent when it premiered in 1997 in Toronto. So this would say, be a homecoming for him. I also think it's pretty exciting to have an original cast member direct a production of Rent because, I don't know, when you're in that show, it's just such a, like, lived experience, it seems.
Absolutely.
So to bring your lived experience to a behind the scenes kind of a role is, like, really exciting to me. It's also really exciting to me that Stratford is bringing Rent because I don't see this as a merit. Yeah,
this
right?
is not, like, on brand for, which is exciting. We love that.
I saw Rent when it was in Toronto. Oh, I don't even know what year, but Anna Pascal and Anthony Rapp were here. It was like a tour that rolled through. So it's been a long time since Rent has been, I would say, like, on Canadian soil. So I do think it's name recognition enough that people would travel to Stratford to see that. And maybe that's what they're banking on, is having a lot of out-of-towners come to see the show.
Yes, I love Rent, an imperfect show as it is, but I've never seen a live production of Rent before.
I know, so, I'm excited for you.
I know. And it's going to be at the festival, which is kind of like a thrust stage, which is a little bit interesting. Mm-hmm. So it'll be staged in a way that we've never really seen before.
I just think of, like, Seasons of Love having all of them almost, like, semicircle the edge of the stage.
I want to see them, like, walking up from, like, as Robert called it, the vom.
Yeah. Yeah. Everywhere. It will be so exciting. And
it's
also,
like, a really,
like,
big cast.
That theater is big, but not too big. No. So it will still feel intimate, which is nice.
Yeah, because of the way it's laid out, every seat feels like a really good seat.
Mm-hmm. And then to head over to Niagara-on-the-Lake and Shawfest, their season is out, but we, again, are only talking about the musicals. And they are bringing Gypsy, which was part of the supposed to be Gypsy's Assassin season in 2020, which was obviously canceled. We did say this on an episode one time, but I don't know that we'll ever see Assassins ever, because I'm not sure anyone will bring it back after what happened at Shaw that summer that they were supposed to do an outdoor concert. And clearly Shaw...
There was a slight controversy.
Shaw's not touching it. So, but they are bringing back Gypsy. So that's exciting. We've never seen a production of Gypsy live.
I actually have. I saw a high school production of Gypsy.
Wow.
Starring our former coworker, Sarah. Do you remember? She played Mama Rose.
That's so fun.
We met she was another camp counselor at the camp. She played Mama Rose in this production at my brother's high school.
Wow.
So I actually have seen a production of Gypsy.
Okay.
It's interesting. Gypsy is very compelling.
Yes.
It's very compelling.
Why did I watch it? I watched it for something. What were we doing? Was it for, like, an original cast episode we were on? I watched it. I watched the, if anyone has Tubi, the Imelda Staunton filmed Gypsy, I guess it was when it was on the West End, is on Tubi. And it's great. Like, she's amazing, first of all. But the way it's filmed is really good.
It was probably before we were on the original cast then.
For like,
we're just kind of absorbing Sondheim as much as we could.
Yeah.
To not look dumb.
Maybe that's why uneducated. I watched it. Because I was like, I watched it for something, and it must have been that. Another, you know, Sondheim Renaissance. Here we are. We are getting so many titles.
We truly are. But it's funny that they had planned to do Assassins and Gypsy 2020.
Yeah.
And then finally it's coming back around. Yes. I would love to see Assassins, because again, we were supposed to see that Off-Broadway production that ended up running this past year, which we didn't. And then we wanted to see that concert. Was it this summer? Last summer at Shaw, and then it was unceremoniously canceled for many reasons.
We just scour the internet to find that information.
Yeah, we're like on Twitter searching, like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I know.
And then we found out. But yeah, I'm excited for Gypsy. Also, Shaw is doing White Christmas for their holiday season, a classic.
This year.
This Christmas.
And next year, they're doing Brigadoon, which I would love to see because we've never seen it. Yes. And I
it's think like it's a re, because they did Brigadoon maybe 2019 summer.
Yes, I think you're right.
So it sounds like it'll be the same production. To like really great reviews. So
yeah, really great reviews. It back.
Yeah, uh-huh. This Christmas though is White Christmas, which I think is great for like a tourist audience. Let's say like it has great name recognition. You know the songs. I've seen this movie. It's lovely, but it's not thrilling me. You know, it's not thrilling me. No. Holiday Inn did not thrill me last year either.
No, I think it's hard with, like, Christmas production. I mean, A Christmas Carol also did not thrill us, but...
No, that's different. Like, these shows, like, White Christmas, Holiday Inn, even Damn Yankees this summer, are meant to be very fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really much to bite into as an audience member. And they're just fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's keeping me engaged the whole time.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, to go back to Sondheim for a second, we did mention this in our New York season preview, but like everyone's doing Into the Woods, including Grand Theatre London, who I believe the production is now over, but you still have like 4 or 5 more days to go see Yes Theatre's production of Into the Woods in Sudbury with a great cast. Like, a great cast. Speaking of Britta Johnson, she is playing like Cinderella's Prince as well as playing the piano. Alessandro Cosentini is playing... Baker. So like there's a lot of other people in that cast too that are playing really fun characters. So if you can get out to Sudbury, or if you live in Sudbury, go see it.
Yeah, it's I really love the idea that everyone is doing Sondheim right now. Like truly paying tribute. And especially Into the Woods, which is such a wonderful musical.
So fun.
And I had never seen on stage until I saw it in New York. And then I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs to see it. Everyone needs to do it. So.
Yes. Do you have anything else? I have one more thing to mention.
I don't really. That's what we know of Toronto. Like, smaller things will get announced. But
yeah.
That's kind of the main musicals happening in Toronto.
The last thing to announce that's happening in 2023, because I got a letter in the mail about it from Roy Thomson Hall, there is a tribute to Alan Menken concert at Roy Thomson Hall in June that is once again music directed and conducted by Stephen Reinecke. And coming as vocalists is Katie Rose Clark, Montego Glover, Jordan Donica, and Matt Doyle. And
Did you find this online? Because I tried to find it and I couldn't find it.
It's online. It is now online.
I'm looking at it right now. Okay, because I tried to look at it like 3 weeks ago and I was like, I was promised Matt Doyle. Where is he?
Literally, so I get this. Because I've got tickets before to Roy Thomson Hall, I think I've like signed up for the TSO mailing list. And my mom also gets them. And so at first she was like, that guy that won the Tony is coming to Toronto. And me thinking like, this year? Like, oh my God, when is this happening? We have to look. No, literally June 2023. It's very far away from now. But yes, it is finally online. It is on TSO's website. It is playing in Toronto June 20th to June... Oh my God, is it only 2 days?
Yeah, usually there's like an evening, a matinee, another evening, and they leave.
So June, if anyone's watching on YouTube, you just saw the disappointment in my face, like, drop down.
You're like, we can only see it once.
So the 20th to the 21st is when it's playing, and I can't wait, because some of those concerts are, like, my favorite concerts I've ever been to.
Add to the spreadsheet, we gotta go.
I know, so excited, and to see Matt Doyle, like, so excited to see Matt again.
So much exciting stuff happening. I can't wait for more and more announcements and more theater, and truly, we're very lucky to live in / so close to Toronto, which is very much like a hub for theater and for Canadian new theater. So I can't believe how lucky we are to be here, to see these musicals, to see these new musicals.
You know what I was going to say? What's actually kind of sad? We've never talked about this on an episode because it happened during the pandemic, but, you know, always at Halloween, there's like a Rocky Horror that's playing. And sadly, due to like COVID-19 and the pandemic, Lower Ossington Theatre closed. And we saw a couple shows there, including Rocky Horror, at like 11 o'clock at night, which was a blast.
The best way. It was like truly empty.
It was empty,
there was
nobody
there.
And late. It was really fun. So because of that, I feel like we are trying our best now to like scout out smaller locations and find, you know, different theater companies. Like you had mentioned, that play that you're interested in is Coal Mine Theater. I'd never heard of it until you put it on the spreadsheet. So just trying to like find smaller scale theater companies in Toronto. Hopefully we can see more shows that way so that, you know, we don't have theater closures like we did during the pandemic.
I actually, you just mentioned Coal Mine Theater and I wanted to mention because this happened like truly days ago. It'll be like a month ago when you listen to this episode. But their lobby caught fire, Coal Mine Theater.
Oh my God.
A few days ago. And which is, and so it's located on the Danforth, intimate performance venue known for high stakes, cutting edge work, which I think you can like count Yerma as part of.
Yeah.
And the fire occurred this past Friday. And its eighth season was supposed to open, is supposed to open like end of September. And it was an accident, obviously, but for a small theater company with like so much less resources than a big theater company, this has a huge impact on what they're able to do. The plan is for the show to go on, but the best way you can support theater is by buying tickets in advance as well. That's actually a huge way to support
theater. We are guilty of this. We are very guilty of this.
We're very guilty. But a huge way to support theater is to not only buy tickets, but to buy tickets in advance and to show theater companies I am coming and give them that money to work with early so that they can invest in their rehearsal process, invest in their performances, invest in their theater, and know what their audiences want. And yes, for a show, for a huge theater company, this would be upsetting, but not as devastating as it would be to a small theater company like this.
For sure.
So yes, we will, every year I feel like we find new theater companies in Toronto and in other places that we want to like road trip or go to. Like we went to the Grand for the first time this past year. And it just gets more and more exciting when we're able to see theater in different places with different artists. So that's like a big perk of the podcast, is being able to like kind of expand our reach.
Totally.
And see more theater like that.
And unfortunately, there are still some companies in Toronto that have not released their seasons at time of episode record. So when we do have that information, I'm talking about like Eclipse, I'm talking about Obsidian, like those companies don't have a lot of information out at time of episode recording. So as soon as we hear more about things that are happening in the city, we will let everybody else know as well. And yeah, for the most part, very excited about what's happening in Toronto for the upcoming theater season. And with that being said, it is now time for our obsession of the week.
Okay, so my obsession this week, you know I love a Tiny Desk concert, and the most recent one released was the 6th musical Tiny Desk concert with actually the touring cast. I clicked the link, I'm like, who are these people? And it's the touring cast.
I don't know which touring cast, because there are currently two tour casts. Just like Hamilton, well, they do like, you know, Philip, Angelica. There's like a Bolin. Yeah. But yes, one of the tour casts.
So they were at the National Theatre just a few miles from NPR HQ, and then they got them in to the desk. And actually what's pretty exciting about this is that they're at the actual desk. A lot of Tiny Desk concerts have recently been happening. You know, Tiny Desk is like, we'll come to you. But the best part about Tiny Desk is that it's at the Tiny Desk.
Yeah.
And they are at the Tiny Desk. And they're crowded behind, you know, this desk with like, anyway, it's really fun. They sang X-Wives, Reprise, Heart of Stone, Get Down, and 6. And honestly, my favorite thing that they sang was actually the X-Wives reprise. It's not on the original cast recording. It is on the live cast recording. And it's just fun. It has, like, attitude. It has personality. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that they're able to change the words, the lyrics, to suit whatever situation they're in. And it allows each of the queens to, you know, get a little more personal.
The queen who was dealt the worst hand. The queen with the most hardships to withstand.
The queen for whom it didn't really go as planned.
Shall be the one to lead the band.
So what do you think, Tiny Desk? Are you ready to choose your leading lady?
And I also like, for Six specifically, I like when they're able to do it out of costume for some reason.
Yeah.
Because in their, like, modern clothes and their modern hair and makeup, you kind of really get to see the modern influences on this music.
But did you notice that they're still kind of wearing the color scheme of the characters?
Yeah, they absolutely. Like, gold, red, pink, blue. No, for sure. Like, they got to, each of them got to wear their own interpretation of this queen. They're not in these kind of over-the-top outfits that they are on mm-hmm. stage. They're in kind of the, like, streetwear version of it, which I thought is really fun. So I love A Tiny Desk because it really gets you into the bare bones of the music and of, like, the concept of the show, and the X-Wives reprise, I think, is the kind of the most fun part of this specific one.
Can we talk about the most, like, the thing that stuck out to me the most in this was actually in the bio that they've changed the Queenspiration, and I don't yes. know if Six themselves did this or if NPR did this, but, like, I'm confused.
Let's discuss. Okay, so their Queenspirations include Beyoncé for Catherine of Aragorn.
Which is the same.
Correct. Miley Cyrus for Anne Boleyn. So that's not in the original program, but I see it.
I see it.
It's not that odd to me.
But not as much as Avril.
No, Avril for sure. Lily.
Not Collins. Not James. Allen.
I know. Lily Allen. Yeah. I was like, which Lily is it? Avril Lavigne for sure. Lily Allen for sure. But I do see Miley. This is not crazy to me. Adele for Jane Seymour. Correct.
Same.
Lizzo for Anna of Cleves, which is new, but correct.
Yes. But we were saying, like, when Six was first brought to life,
2017,
Lizzo wasn't really around. So this makes sense. And I do think that this interpretation in the Tiny Desk is giving Lizzo. So
yes. Yes. Cause we get to see them perform Get Down.
Yeah.
Next, Britney Spears for Catherine Howard. Correct. This is where you lose me.
Yeah.
Celine Dion for Catherine Parr.
No. Yeah. It was Alicia Keys.
No, it's Alicia Keys. It's like an India RE. It's
Emily, like, Sande was the other one, I believe.
Yeah, Emily Sande is a great,
yeah.
For, like, one, I clearly think it's a black woman.
That's yes.
Inspiration. Someone doing, like, an R&B kind of style. And Celine Dion is just not doing that at all.
Celine Dion is giving more Jane Seymour than she's giving anything
Celine
else.
Celine Dion is Jane Seymour. Jane Seymour gets the power ballad.
Yeah.
And that is what Heart of Stone is, and that is what Celine and Adele are known for. So that is, like, a really weird one. So yeah, I agree with you. I do wonder if it's Six's press release
yeah.
or if it's someone at NPR writing this up and not doing research.
You know how we'll find this information out? When we go see Six at Shays in Buffalo.
We'll be like, what are they saying?
We didn't even talk about Buffalo season. Oh my God. Buffalo season is Shays. Shays is giving the season that I wanted for Mervish. Oh my God, we never went through your list. Okay, let me do my obsession and then we'll quickly go through the list that we made as we wrap up this episode. But just to, like, put on record, Shays
did that. Shays gets only tours.
Whereas but Toronto, they're getting the best ones.
Toronto gets a mix of tours.
And UK content.
UK stuff, pre-Broadway. Like, Shays is not doing a pre-Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Toronto gets, like, a weirder mix.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Okay, my obsession this week, it's kind of like a real obsession, but also like an anti-obsession, stuff you know, because we've discussed at length. I recently watched 13 the Musical on Netflix, actually twice. First time I watched it, I was literally, like, bawling my eyes out on my couch alone during a little more homework to do, because man, that song just hits you in the feels like when you need it to. And then the second time I watched it, I like appreciated it in a different way. I will say my dad said that this movie was like a Hallmark movie, and I 1000% agree. It is a children's Hallmark movie.
It's giving DCOM. It's giving Disney Channel original movie.
And the reason I'm talking about it in this obsession is because most of it's shot in Toronto, which is very exciting. Jason Robert Brown executive produced this movie.
What synagogue did they film at?
It was at, oh my God, Adith Israel is where it was. You know, always exciting, and literally could never say this ever, because what other show has a kid that like has a bar mitzvah on stage? But always exciting.
Falsettos. When we get,
that's true. We don't get as much like Hebrew singing content as we do in 13. What was the other thing I was going to say about Toronto? Oh, also Nolan DeBook, is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
That we saw as Billy in Billy Elliot is in this cast, and he is always cute, but like he's doing a really great job. Anyway, the reason that I'm talking about 13 is because I love the music from this show, always have. And I think that they did such a great job in this movie, diversely casting all of the kids. That Broadway cast is primarily white. And in this movie, it is every ethnicity, everything. It's amazing to see how many kids of color in this movie. There's also someone that's in a wheelchair in this movie. There's a queer kid in this movie. So there's like so much going on, everything for it. And they're all like stupid talented and between the ages of like 13 and 16. And I just think it's like such a fun show. I will say that my bone to pick with this show, sorry, with this movie is, and you agree, and it's the cut song of What It Means to Be a Friend. Now there are many cut songs in this movie.
No, but this is a tragedy.
And we didn't know this, and also we were discussing this the other day, that no one has seen this movie at all. It's been very not publicized online.
We were talking about, so the comparison is Better Nate Than Ever, which I felt like every single person on the planet.
Oh my God,
and every single person on my Twitter feed saw, at least.
Same.
So, which I guess I curate a very specific Twitter feed, but every single person on my Twitter feed had seen this movie. No one, like, why weren't they holding screenings for 13 the way they did for Better Nate Than Ever? I don't understand.
I know.
Netflix
especially
just buried it.
Yeah.
Netflix just buried this.
And I hope that this doesn't happen for Matilda, but I feel like it could. That we just like heard of, although more of like
expensive Matilda though.
And like there's a bit of star power in that, so it would be weird to just like throw it away. But I just hate when like, you know, like talented kids, you don't get to like show it off to the world type thing. But yeah, truly What It Means to Be a Friend is the most tragic thing to be cut from this show, because you said the other day that literally like it is the thesis statement of 13 the musical. Like without it, the show is nothing.
It is the show.
I do agree. I think they like try to make up for it scripting wise, but not enough. Like that song, one, phenomenal. It is such a great song. And even to like us, almost 30-year-olds, like relatable. Like it is so relatable. So I think like devastating to lose that. But we do kind of get that like emotional impact during a little more homework. So I can like forgive it slightly. But my obsession this week is Patrice singing The Lamest Place in the World.
Every bacon freak, every fool and clown, since this hip gloss settled this stupid town. Let them laugh, they won't keep me down with you by my side. And it just got a little bit better. Amazing but true. Guess the lamest place in the world. Has lots of flaws, but maybe it'll be fine.
I love that song. I think it's super fun and really cute, and I love the way that they did it in this movie. They shot in like a small town in Ontario for most of it, and then did like little things here and there in Toronto. But nice, like it's just, I would recommend 13. I think it's like a shut your brain off kind of movie, which sounds negative, but I don't mean it negatively. And yeah, it's just like really, really cute. So that's my obsession this week. And before we wrap it up, okay, Steph, what was our potential 2022-2023 season for Mirvish?
We both had Hadestown right at the top.
Yes,
both
correct.
Had Hadestown right at the top, which, correct. Then my next was random UK play. So I feel like that was fulfilled
by like three spots.
And with The Shark Is Broken.
Yeah.
You said Frozen.
Yeah, no. Because I really thought that it's like on tour everywhere in the States. So I thought that like if they were gonna bring a big licensable show, it would be that.
Something we both said actually was Oklahoma. Because it was part of that previously announced season that got canceled.
Yeah.
Not here. And I don't know if that tour is still happening. I think there's just like one more stop left. I don't think we're ever going to get it now.
I agree. But interestingly, within that time, they did just announce a West End transfer. So Oklahoma is like having a life there. Yeah.
We also both said Jagged. So
we were right.
Semi-right. You had Murder on the Orient Express.
I thought we were getting Murder on the Orient Express.
I also really thought we were getting Murder on the Orient Express. You also had To Kill a Mockingbird.
Like, if anyone, I mean, I don't even know David Mirvish, but like, if anyone knows David Mirvish, don't you think that like Murder on the Orient Express and To Kill a Mockingbird are like his vibe?
He wants him badly. He wants him so badly.
Yeah. Not badly enough.
You also had Tina, but.
You know who has Tina? Shays.
Shays. Should we be going to see Tina at Shays? Shows I had, Seven Fingers Circus.
We did get six guitars this summer.
We did get six guitars, which I think is close enough. I had The Illusionists. That's like a Christmas show.
That could still be in the roster.
Right. You're right, it could. But that maybe like Joseph is taking The Illusionist slot.
I'm fine with that.
And I also wrote Pretty Woman.
Right. Because it's on tour right now, too.
It's on tour. I feel like we could still get Pretty Woman.
Bryan Adams, yeah. Like Canadian.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Maybe next year we'll get it.
Yeah, so we need to wait for next year's season. Usually announced in, like, February-ish. It's an okay season.
I think we had a better one, but that's just me.
Absolutely. I wish we had what we had. But, usually, like, a weird West End play.
But thankfully, we can cross the border and see six, Beetlejuice, what else? Tina. And there's another one, but I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. But fun stuff.
For me, yeah, I want to see Beetlejuice because I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm. And so I actually think it will
cross the border.
It will be interesting to see that in a smaller house for me.
Excuse me, Shays is massive.
I know it's massive, but it's not as large as the Winter Garden stage.
I would guess that Shays has more seats than the Winter Garden.
Seats, yes, but like stage-wise.
The Winter Garden stage is like the width of the theater, whereas the Shays theater is really wide, but the stage is not as wide.
Although, if anyone's seen it at the Marriott Marquis, like, let us know what that staging is like. The biggest thing for me was, like, the house and, like, the snake. Like, I didn't think they would be able to bring that to a smaller theater. So I am excited for, obviously, it will be a scaled down tour set. Still, like, it's amazing stuff. I think Beetlejuice is probably top of list, followed by Six, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is what's upcoming in Toronto and surrounding areas for the 2022-2023 season. We're pretty excited about most of the stuff that's coming. And as we said earlier, any other smaller theater companies that will be announcing stuff in Toronto, like we will let you know when that stuff is announced. And I'm sure we'll be seeing some of that too. We'll have to add it to the very long spreadsheet that already exists. But if you want to listen to any of our other episodes, you can do that by subscribing to our podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. And we really appreciate it if you left us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And you can also watch us on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Off to BYU Podcast as the number 2. And if you're also from the Toronto or surrounding areas, what are you most excited to see in this next coming year?
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.